from then we go to share in food and fellowship. So, and there's enough for everyone down there by faith. Amen. By faith. And I do realize that this part of the service is the only thing between us and the food. So I will try to speak louder than the growls in your stomach and propose interesting thoughts to you that are above the normal question in your mind, which is, I wonder what they really have for dessert down there. So, for a while here, let's turn to the scriptures, if you will, to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1, I'll begin reading at verse 10. Verse 9. We'll read 10 verses 9 through 18 from Colossians 1. And Paul here is writing to the church in Colossae, which is come to faith in Christ, and he's talking about who they are in Christ and who Christ is in them. And I've been preaching a series of sermons called Living in the Identity God Gave Us. Living in the Identity God Gave Us. Do you know God knows who we are? But sometimes we don't know who we are, and it has to be revealed to us. So that's what the sermon's about. Verse 9, he says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it," which is he heard about their faith in Christ, "we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." So what he's praying for is for you and I to know the will of God and to understand spiritual things. So he's releasing a spirit of understanding, a spirit that opens eyes to see and ears to hear. And that's what I believe God is doing in his presence today. When we begin to worship God, his spirit came upon you and the veil began to drop from your eyes and you begin to be able to hear better and see better who God is and who you are in him. Verse 10, he says, "that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him." That's what Pastor Becca talked about. We're all on our way, right? We're learning to do this. "And that we would be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Quite a prayer Paul is praying for us. And then verse 11, he says, "that you might be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power." I don't know about you, but I feel stronger now than when we came in today. I am strengthened by the power of heaven and the presence of the Lord. In verse 12, he says, "I'm giving thanks to the Father." Let me finish reading 11. "Because you're strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy." So it isn't that we're not going through some things. It's that God is going to strengthen us and we can persevere, we can endure, we can go through those things and we can have joy at the same time. Verse 12, he says, "I'm giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us." Turn to your neighbor and say, "You're qualified." See, God has qualified you. He's qualified you to be partakers of an inheritance of the saints. We're all saints. You don't have to wait for the church to declare you a saint. Father God has declared you a saint, one sanctified to his purpose, one bought by his own blood, one bought into one family, one baptism, and one body. Amen. And so God has made us qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. And where are the saints? They're not in the dark. I'm not in the dark. I'm in the light. And he has delivered us, verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. What's the power of darkness? The power of lies, the power of deceit. That's all darkness has going for it is lies and deceit. The devil is the father of lies. Jesus is the truth. And you'll know him. You'll know the truth. And the truth will what? Make you free. Amen. Hallelujah. So he gives thanks that they're partakers of saints in light, and he's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us. Ooh, do you feel the hands of God conveying you into the kingdom of the Son of His love. How many believe Jesus is the King? He has the kingdom. He once said, it's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And I'll take hold of you. I'll transfer you. I'll bring you out of darkness into the light. You'll see what's going on. You'll see who I am. You'll see who you are. You'll see the destiny I've planned for you. And you'll go forward in the light and life of God. Amen. Hallelujah. In whom, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Turn to somebody and say, thy sins be forgiven. See, you can declare that in the blood of Jesus and the word of the Lord, right? Just be forgiven. Really? Yes, really. You confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, I see a big wagon of all the stuff I've done, all the things that I've embarrassed about, all the things I have shame about, all the things the devil reminds me of. They're all in this wagon behind me and they're hooked up to me and I'm trying to go forward and I say, the blood of Jesus! And the wagon is cut off. Well, I'm free to move about the planet. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. So we are redeemed. We are bought. The redemption has come. My redemption has come. Say, well, what about tomorrow? I tell you, if you live out of the identity you have in Christ, you won't do too many things to embarrass him or you.
That's right.
But if you do, the blood of Jesus is speaking from heaven continuously. We have a covenant with God. If we, any time we turn to him, his mercy comes to us.
Yes.
How many have heard that? His mercy endures forever. What does that mean? That means that at any time in this service, if I ask you, do you know Jesus? Or do you have some shame in your life? Is there something you need to get right with God? And you say, yes, Pastor Ron, that's how I feel. We just turn to the Lord and ask for his mercy. And he will grant it, and you'll leave a different person. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God. If you want to know what God's like, look at Jesus and his life. The firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible. He created all things. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. See, God is the valid creator of everything. And what the devil does is he tries to take those things created, twist them, lie about them. He'll tell you that he has authority. He has none.
Amen.
Jesus has been raised from the dead. And he said, all power and authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Amen.
So what power does the devil have? He only has the power you give him by listening to his lies. If you tell him you're a liar and a thief, I reject you.
Yes.
You know the best thing you can do for a spirit of rejection that comes around? A spirit of estrangement that comes around? Tells you don't belong here. Tells you don't belong. Tells you're not anything. To that spirit of rejection. You know what the best thing you can do? Reject rejection. Say this with me. I reject rejection.
I reject rejection.
I am not rejected.
I am not rejected.
I'm accepted by God.
I'm accepted by God.
That's the truth.
That is
true. Rejection's a lie.
So I reject rejection.
Oh, Pastor Ron, I don't like you. Well, the Lord loves me, so it's like, get over it, you know? We have a saying around here when children become a little noisy in the church. We say, if you don't like children,
get over it.
Get over it, you know? Jesus loves the little children. Well, I don't like that. Well, you got to change your likes to what God likes.
Amen.
If you don't ever think with God, you'll never learn to think like God.
Wow.
He's the image of the invisible God. He created everything, visible and invisible. All things were created through him and for him. Everything's created through him and for him. And before all things, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He's the head of the body, the church. Amen. We are something special. I often say this, God is up to something big. How many have a sense in their spirit that something has changed in the atmosphere and God is up to something really big in the earth? And I asked him, I said, God, I have this feeling, I have this excitement, I have this passion. I know you're about to break forth and that something really big is about to happen. What's that something? He says, you are. And my churches, they are my people in the earth. They're the ones I died for. Those are the ones I live for. They're my people. And I'm about to release to them a revelation of who I am, who they are, and the authority they have in the earth. And they're about to stand up in the fullness of the stature of Christ Jesus and show the world who I am. And then they will know that I am. So he's the head of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the end, that in all things he may have the preeminence. And that's what we did today. We gave him first place. Don't you love the sound of babies crying in the church? Because if you don't like children, amen. Jesus loved the little children. He had no problem with kids. He wasn't distracted. He wasn't disgusted. They said, bring them. So we say the same thing around here. And they'll catch the Spirit of God. When I live to be 102, somebody's going to ask me, how did you live so long? I'm going to say, I was raised on the front seat of the church all my life in the presence of the Almighty. Amen. Yeah, we do have a nursery if you want. It'd be more comfortable for you there. It doesn't matter to me one way or another. You can come right up and sit right here on the altar. Amen. Well, Jesus wants that first place. You know, I love the Bible. I love the Bible, this collection of books called the Holy Scriptures. Sometimes we call it the Word of God or the Word from God. The Bible is the only authoritative manuscript that claims to be God's only explanation, illumination, and revelation about who he is. When the world makes up stuff about God, don't believe it. One of my favorite sayings is, my father is not a child molester. There's a lot of people that think God does bad things to people. His goodness is running after me. Amen. He doesn't have a bad side. He doesn't wake up on a bad day. He'll create good days for you, trust me. Amen. Amen. The Bible faithfully tells the story of creation, desolation, salvation and reformation of the earth and mankind. The Bible is the story about God and his family and the heavens and the earth in which the family will live. If you open Genesis, it says God wants a family. He makes people in his own image and likeness. The devil messes that up by getting Adam into rebellion, which brings sin and death into the earth. And then you fast forward and you end up in, you know, in a 7,000-year period, roughly, and you end up with what? A new heaven, a new earth, God and his family in the earth. Amen. He doesn't change. His story is the same. So why don't you just go ahead and get on board right now. Amen. And be part of God's family demonstrating his kingdom in the earth. We'll do as much as we can to rule and reign with him in our mortal bodies. He'll come back. Whoop! We'll get eternal suits. Amen. A glorified body. I hope it's taller than the one I'm in now. So I always wanted to play in the NBA, but it just didn't work out that way. And I'll be satisfied with whatever it is, because I'll be so happy to be in the presence of the Lord and with you there. And we will live and rule and reign with him in the ages to come. It's a big story, but it's a great story to be involved in today. For me, there's no greater comfort for my soul, while at the same time, no greater motivation and passion for living and embracing all that God has for me than knowing more and more about who God is, more and more about who I really am. I'm discovering who I am. I'm 72 years old, and I'm just now figuring out who I am and what I'm doing here. It's been a revelation. Say revelation. Amen. And day by day, time by time, in the scriptures, in the word, reading. How many caught that part about the big plan of God? It's supposed to be the heaven and the earth, God and his family, and we're all living here, ruling and reigning with Christ. I mean, ruling and reigning with him. And Christ got straightened out what Adam did to mess it up, right? So it's good to like get a simple view of what you're doing and why you're here. You and I were made by him, for him, in him. We have purpose and destiny and a specific, unique opportunity in life with unlimited potential. Let me say that again. We each have a specific and unique destiny, opportunities in life with unlimited potential, because God is our Father. He can create days for you and I that are just amazing. Amazing days if he can get us out of darkness into his marvelous light. God has divine connections for each of you. Yes. He's promoting you. I'm declaring your promotion, your elevation. As you get revelation, God wants to elevate you to where you have more influence in more people's lives. I've seen this happen over and over and over again. Financially, he wants you to be able to help more people than you helped last year. Pastor, he wants you to be able to contact, impact, influence, rescue, deliver more people this year coming than ever before. Amen. Time is not out. Time is not up. Now is the time, says the Lord. Amen. There's a release upon your life, a release upon your life. There's a kingdom release. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many have had a doctor tell them you have cancer? Raise your hand. Yeah, we got a few in here. I knew that. The Lord just spoke to me and he said, your sentence is not death, your sentence is life. Doctors' reports may be true, but they're subject to change. I release the healing anointing of Christ in you, the hope of glory. I release the life of God within you to go and arrest cancer, to stamp it out, kill it, cause it, Lord, to dissolve, cause it to pass quickly from their body. I'm talking to you, cancer. I curse you. I command you, leave this body now in Jesus' name. Some of you, it's your second or third time around. And God said, I did it before, I will do it again. I did it before, I delivered you before, I will deliver you again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is fighting for you. He's fighting for you. I say, well, I never thought of God as a fighter. Well, just read the Bible. He's the one that closed up the Red Sea. A lot of people died. He's the one that threw down hailstones. A lot of people died. He's the one that takes care of business. When the children of God are attacked, God gets on the counterattack. If you don't believe God's a fighter, just set yourself against him. Who is right? Well, I'm getting hungry too, and I'm like, what we do and the resulting life experiences we enjoy, what we do and the resulting life experiences come out of who we believe we are in him. You and I can be in denial or delusion about who we are, or we can come to the truth of who we are and how we're doing and what we need to get right in order to start to conform our behavior and our speech consistently with who God has made us to be. Okay? How many of you have watched somebody do something and you've asked the question, who do you think you are? Have you said that? Who do you think you are? Because what they're doing is out of their understanding of who they are. Yeah. We are human beings, not human doings. We're not human doings. We're human beings. First you be, and out of that you think, and out of that thought you act, and out of that act you either bear fruit one kind or another. And so God is just trying to shift your thinking. Amen. To be who you are in him. Amen. You're not faking it. You're not trying to become something you're not. You're trying to become something. You're trying to reflect who you are. When you're born again, you have a new father. You have a new spirit. Your mind still needs to be renewed, and your body you're kind of stuck with. But you can do things to prepare your body and prepare your mind for obedience to the Lord. And I think that's what Paul was talking about here when he was encouraging the people to remember who God is and to begin to show him a little respect for what he's done for you. I'm called to respect God. Amen. And who he is and what he said is important. He's asking us for a little respect. He's calling us to himself to simply recognize him as the Christ, the Son of the living God. I have presented the best I know through our worship, through our activity here, through whatever we're doing as a church. We're trying to show you who Jesus really is. Amen. And attract you to him, because he wants to call you to himself. He's calling you right now, today, to himself. Would you just stand with me, please? I feel like, I got 4 or 5 pages of notes left, but I really feel like the Lord has said what he wanted to say. If you wanna understand who you are and what the creation is and the destiny of the creation, you don't go to scientists, right? You go to the Word of God. The mess the world is in is because they don't know who God is and they don't know who they are. They don't have a proper identity in God. God is calling you as his people today to come back to him. To come into the family in a tight way. Not to isolate yourself. One of the best ways a man can grow up is to get married. One of the best ways you can become a better Christian is to come into the church, get up nice and close, and let the rough edges start to rub on me and help make me a better person. If you're really hard on me, I might learn some endurance. Wouldn't that be something? And I'd be more fruitful, wouldn't I? So we need each other. We need each other. This is family day. This is a day when friends and family come together and we group up pretty close and we let the things of Christ within us be shared and we let the things that are not of Christ be shed. It's time for those things that have been shaming you and bothering you to get cleansed by the blood of Jesus right now. So will you bow your heads, please, and just get a quiet corner with God right there where you are. And if you want to pray along with me, you can. If you want to silently pray some other prayer or out loud even, I don't care. What matters is that you take words. The prophet said, take words and return to God. What are those words? Those words are, I'm sorry, God, I've not really been a very good representative of the Christian life you've given me. So let's just say that together. Father, I confess my sins. I've not been as good a representative of the life of Christ you've given me. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And I respect him. I give him preeminence in all things. If that's too big a word for you, tell him, I believe Jesus is the top dog. You know, I believe Jesus is the one and only. I believe he's the Savior of the world. I believe he's at the top. He's the Lord. And he's the Lord of my life. I yield to him right now. I ask you to forgive me my sins and receive me into fellowship as your son or daughter. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you need further prayer instruction, I'm here. I have a little booklet called Following Jesus. We're here to pray with you and help you in any way that we can. Take about 10 minutes and stay up here and relax, if you will, and then make your way on downstairs for the food. Father, I thank you for what we're about to do in fellowship and food. I thank you that you sanctify it according to your word. And we just bless it, Lord, to our bodies and us to your service. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There's two ways you can go. One of them is a self-made man. You ever hear that? The rags to riches. Sell a lot of books and sell a lot of movies in rags to riches stories. But there's another story that sells a lot of books and movies too. It's the one, remember where the girl or the guy, they discover who they are. They discover they're a superhero. They're going to save the world, right? They discover they were a king. That somehow they were stolen out of the royal family, and along after a time they discovered, oh, that's really the king. So they bring him and put him in the palace. My success story is not a rags to riches. I did not do anything by myself. My success story is in January 10th, 1978, I discovered who I am in Christ. And from that moment on, I began to study about following him. And my life became more and more fruitful. And so, Father, I just release the blessing you have blessed my life with. My success story, that you discovered me to myself. I found out who I was. Lord, everyone here today, under the sound of my voice, I release to them a revelation of their identity in you and their destiny in you. And the unlimited opportunity they have in you, I release to them what you have given to me. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll see you in a little bit downstairs. Amen.